This is Studio A from Interlochen Public Radio.
Welcome to Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell. Today, we are excited to have Will Marsh with us in Studio A, along with a couple members of the Integration Ensemble, including Josh Mellinger and Crispin Campbell. Will Marsh is a Traverse City native and an Interlochen Arts Academy alum. He's also a professional sitar player, where he's studied both in India and here in the United States. Will, welcome to Studio A.
Thanks, Amanda.
You were from Northern Michigan. You went to Interlochen Arts Academy. I don't really know how to ask this apart from just asking it, but how the heck does a boy from Traverse City end up playing the sitar professionally and living in the Bay Area?
Good question. Well, I get that question a lot, and it feels like sitar found me more than I found sitar. I think that's one of the beautiful things about music is just the places it can take you. And I had a very curious, you know, mind and ear musically, so I was listening to all kinds of music, including sitar. But yeah, no expectation that I would play it. Going to CalArts was really what facilitated that for me. California Institute of the Arts out in LA is known for their World Music Program. And after having the privilege of being at Interlochen, you know, studying classical and jazz at a, you know, high school age, I was very interested in that. And when I was taking the Indian Music Ensemble, playing guitar, the music just captivated me, and is a bit of a kind of a funny journey that what got me to eventually sit with sitar. It looked so kind of foreign. I was scared to just pick it up. But when I did, it felt right. And that's, here I am, you know, 20 years later.
And the musicians with us in Studio A today and who will be with you this weekend are also Traverse City folks. We have Josh Mellinger, your Arts Academy classmate and also Traverse City native. We have Crispin Campbell, allegedly retired cellist from Interlochen. How did you all connect as musicians and come back to Traverse City?
Yeah, it's super sweet. I mean, Josh and I, we had a band when we were 14, 15. That's when we met, playing guitar.
I'm sorry, what music did you, original music or like bad covers?
Yeah, we did like some funk covers. We did covers by The Meters and Fish and John Scofield and fun stuff like that. So, and we'd play around town in the summers, you know, play some beach gigs and restaurant gigs. And then we both ended up at Interlochen, and Josh is here with a tabla and I'm here with a sitar. So it's been kind of fun to be on this parallel journey as both TC kids that are now doing what we do. And having Crispin on board is just like super special, because I used to go listen to him as a kid, as a teenager, play with Don Julin and Angelo Melli and, you know, musicians that I really looked up to myself, him included. So it's just really feels like a full circle to come back to the place where I started playing music with people that were a part of that. And here we are, you know, doing this show. It's really special.
Well, Will Marsh, we're going to hear you folks play some music here in Studio A, and then we're going to talk a lot more about the sitar and get some demonstrations. And in fact, the piece we're about to hear is called The Integration, and we'll hear you go back and forth between the guitar and the sitar and then back to guitar. We'll also hear Josh Mellinger playing the tabla and Crispin Campbell playing the cello.
Thank you.
We're in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. We heard Will Marsh playing the guitar, then the sitar, and back to the guitar, along with Josh Mellinger playing the tabla and Crispin Campbell playing the cello. Now, Will, I'd like to do a little bit of a sitar 101 here for, well, I was going to say for our listeners, but for me too. So you got a lot of strings, you got a lot of frets, you got a lot of sympathetic strings. Can you just sort of walk us through how you get sound out of that beautiful instrument?
Yes. So lots of strings indeed. There's 20 strings on the sitar. And what's cool about it is there are two bridges that are housing the strings. And the bottom bridge of strings is what we call the sympathetic strings that we tune them very precisely, but I'm not actually striking them physically when I play. I wear a metal pick on my finger that's called the mizrab, and I'm not hitting these bottom strings, these sympathetic strings, but they are naturally resonating when I play that chorus, same note on the main string that I am hitting. It's easier to demonstrate than really talk about, so here it is. Now I'm going to block these bottom strings, these sympathetic strings I'm talking about. Now I'm going to open them back. So you can hear the difference. It's almost like giving it a natural reverb or a whole another doubling of the note. And this is one of the cool features of sitar, is that you've got all this resonating happening by having these 20 strings used in such a way. It's pretty fun.
And you're a guitarist by training, but the sitar has way more strings and frets than a guitar. How much of your knowledge were you able to sort of transfer, and how much did you have to just start over?
Yeah, I mean, it helped having some string experience. Really, the best thing that I had was the willingness and desire to practice a lot, because that's what both in any instrument that you want to excel on, you got to put in the time. So I had that focus coming from guitar, the ability to really sit and work on parts and technique. And I brought that into sitar. And you can see the way I'm sitting right now. This is the hardest part about sitar.
the cross-legged way,
yeah,
seat?
So like this for 3-4 hours at a time. That honestly was one of the most challenging parts. But yeah, the nuanced techniques are very different between guitar and sitar. But, you know, like I said, I just brought that focus and put in my practice time and still continue to do so.
One of the critiques that the Beatles got, of course, when they started using the sitar was that they were basically just playing it like a big guitar and not actually really playing it in the manner of a sitar player.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time, and kudos to them for that's why people know what sitar is, essentially, is because of that time and that exposure of the instrument. But yeah, to really bring out the technical nuance of sitar, it's 10 years of just getting your technique together. And one of the things, yeah, there's a lot of bending. And to pull that note the way that I did, I'm bending on a steel wire that's 40 pounds of pressure with the top of my finger. And so you got to have these calluses, and you know, to really do that precisely is quite a, you know, it takes a lot of time.
So between the sitting cross-legged for 3 or 4 hours at a time, building the calluses, are there other just sort of physical requirements for playing or that develop over time?
Well, yeah, I mean, really just, yeah, the sitting, like, you know, I do yoga and I have to keep in shape. It's almost like being an Olympic athlete. Like, you can't just show up and you have to work on your, you know, your ability to sit like this. And it was funny because I asked my first teacher, like, it was hard. My shoulder and neck were hurting as I was starting to practice. And these guys in India, they start when they're 3 or 4. So I feel like their body just grows into the way they sit. So he didn't really have any. I've never really had anyone give me any real actual advice, but essentially you just have to figure it out. So it has been a kind of a fun journey, and I feel like I'm a healthier person actually because of how I need to show up to play this instrument.
Well, we're going to hear you, Will Marsh, play the sitar here with Josh Mellinger playing the tabla. And this is a traditional Indian classical piece called Rag Kamash.
Yes, that's it.
And We're going to hear a drone in there, but tell the listeners what we're doing for the drone.
Yeah, so in Indian music, one of the most important instruments is called tanpura. And it just plays the fifth and the root, and it gives you this kind of canvas backdrop sound that you have to have. I mean, if you're going to keep 20 strings in tune, you need a reference. Also, this is like, if the notes of the sitar are like the colors, the tanpura is like the canvas that you're painting on. And so this is a sample. This is a recording of one looped. It's actually an app.
Yes, this is an app. I love this. I could put this app on my phone.
You could get it. All my students, I tell them they got to get it because it's got the tabla rhythms on it too. So you'll hear this in the recording. And this is really essential for me to be able to play my phrases. Really getting those microtones in tune, and it's really setting me up to be able to play the rag, and this is an essential part of it. So,
but we're using this app simply because we don't have another human being in the room able to play this.
Exactly.
Chris, Crispin Campbell, there's a project for you. You can start learning. start learning
Tom
the drone
duty.
Instrument.
I'll ship one out here and get you on.
It'll only take him a couple months, right? Based on what you've
said.
Yeah,
oh, he could get it quick.
All right, well, let's hear Rag Kamaj in Studio A at Interlaken Public Radio. We're in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. We heard an Indian classical piece called Rag Kamaj. We heard Josh Mellinger playing the tabla and Will Marsh playing the sitar. Now, Will Marsh, you had an app playing the drone. We talked about that before. And you actually had to set a timer for this piece because traditionally these kinds of pieces go on for an hour or more, right?
Yes, it's a long form music for sure.
Did you tell me that Ravi Shankar got some pushback because he shortened his pieces?
Yeah, definitely the kind of purists in India were a little critical of his shortening of the rag from, usually the first rag would be 1 to 2 hours in a performance, and he would do more like a half hour, and he'd do more ragas in less time. But I think it was an appropriate decision for an audience that really doesn't understand the music. But yeah, in India, when he played in India, he would still do a, you know, he could do a 2 hours for the first rag. So yeah, that's the tradition of this music, is very long form.
But you won't be doing any that are quite that long form.
I'm actually kind of showcasing more of my own music, which is me as a sitar player, with me as a guitar player, with me as a rock lover and jam band fan. You know, it's kind of showing all of that. But there will be a small portion of the traditional Indian set. We'll probably do a 20-minute set of that at the end. So a bit of
20 minutes, would that all be one piece?
Yeah, so that'll be one raga. Yep, that's kind of enough time to get into it, to get flowing. And yeah, so there'll be a bit of that.
Now, the group is called the Integration Ensemble. We've got a couple members with us here, cellist Crispin Campbell and Josh Mellinger playing the tabla. But it's a flexible, kind of a rotating group, right? Because Josh plays a couple different drums. You're going to have Patrick Booth playing saxophone with you this weekend. What exactly does integration mean in the context of the name of the group or even the piece that you played earlier?
Yeah, great question. So really the idea is, you know, I grew up with this background in guitar, playing classical guitar, blues, jazz, and then I got so into sitar and I almost felt like I was two different artists, right? Will Marsh, the classical sitar player, Will Marsh, the guitar player. And around 2018, I started thinking about, well, how can I bring all this together to say what only I can say, right? You know, if anyone who's a classical artist, like the bars are high for any classical art form. It's Indian music especially, it's a very demanding tradition. But when you start to tap into what only you can say, that's kind of another direction to go, and I feel like an important one. So that's why the name, the Integration Ensemble, it's about me trying to integrate all these parts of my musical journey in a way that feels natural and really sharing my musical journey. So, and I don't like the word fusion. Fusion. What does fusion mean? You're taking two different things and you're smashing them together. That's not how I think of it. I think of it as, well, actually, I've studied deeply both Western and North Indian music. How do I see them coming together? And that's been kind of a distinction for me, and that's really what the theme of this project is.
You can hear Will Marsh and the Integration Ensemble, which will include Crispin Campbell, Josh Mellinger, and Patrick Booth at the Alluvion in Traverse City Saturday night. We've got details and ticket information in this podcast post at classicalipr.org. Will, thank you so much for coming to Studio A today to share your music with us.
Thanks for having me.
Michael Culler engineered this edition of Studio A. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for listening.
Studio A is a production of Interlochen Public Radio, part of Interlochen Center for the Arts. Learn more at interlochenpublicradio.org.